Today we're speaking with Dr. Weston Nallen, who is leading the very first endangered species refugia studies for the HCP. He's the Director of Aquatic Resources Masters of Science Program at Texas State University. Weston, thank you very much for taking time to talk with us today.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
Well, to start with, maybe you can explain what a refugia actually is and how it pertains to the HCP.
Yeah, the refugia is particularly important with regard to the HCP. Refugium is essentially a location, place, some sort of setup where we can take endangered species out of the wild and then house them in an artificial setting. This is particularly relevant if we have a habitat where these endangered species exist. They become imperiled due to man-made causes or even natural causes where we might want to take them out of the wild for a period of time and hold them in case we need to protect those species and then reintroduce them later. So that's really the purpose of this in terms of the HCP, is taking some of the species in the Comal system, potentially the San Marcos system, taking them out of those systems if they become conditions get so they might imperil those species, and then we can hold them, maintain those populations, and then put them back at a time in which those conditions are suitable.
And so which of the species will you be studying here?
In particular, we're focused really on a variety of different species. There are three main species we're going to focus on. One is the Comal Springs riffle beetle. That's located almost primarily exclusively at Comal Springs, but it's also a very small population. Some individuals have been noted in San Marcos, but it's almost all exclusively at Comal. The second species is the Pexcape amphipod, which is found in Comal. And then the third is Lurceola smithii, which is a small, it's called the Texas troglobitic water slater. So either name is not easy to need to come up with, but essentially it's a really small isopod that lives underground, lives in the aquifer, and those are the three.
And so how are you going to go about studying these very, very small creatures?
Yeah, well, so the first challenge is actually trying to collect these organisms, and so we actually have to go out into the wild and collect them. And many of them live in a subterranean or just below the surface lifestyle. So we have various techniques such as putting out cotton rag lures that might attract riffle beetles. We know they like those cotton rags. We can hide those under rocks. They seem to congregate there. Oftentimes for things like the amphipod and the isopod, we can actually put nets on spring openings and catch those individuals there as well. So, and once you then collect those, you have to make sure you have the right species. They're quite small. Your eye gets good at identifying them in the field very quickly, and then you have to then bring them back to the lab and sort them. So it's a lot of leaning over things and squinting at stuff a lot in order to get them.
And what will you be looking at in terms of, how they survive, I guess, or mm-hmm. how they propagate, those sorts of things?
Yeah, so, I mean, essentially we're really interested in several questions. One is, we'd like to be able to monitor their growth and reproduction, and you have to kind of do this on an individual basis. And so essentially, one of the major studies we're going to be doing is looking just at anesthesia methods. How do we immobilize them? How do we slow them down so we can actually get a good look at them? A lot of these guys like to swim and crawl very quickly, so to ID them or to take very detailed measurements on them or to understand where they are in their life history development, so are they ready to reproduce yet? Those kinds of questions. You have to kind of slow them down. So we're going to be looking at just some anesthesia methods. Mm-hmm. We're also going to be looking at some methods in terms of, are they sensitive to light? I mean, these organisms are subterranean in nature. If they're exposed to light, does it stress them out? Many of them don't have eyes, or if they do have eyes, they tend to be reduced. But if you expose them to light, we find a lot of subterranean organisms don't like it. So how are they detecting the light? Does it matter whether we leave the lights on? What kind of light can we expose them to if we have to take measurements from them? And, of course, the last two questions we're interested in as related to the Pexcape amphipod in particular. The first then is, what is its mating behavior? We don't know that very well. We know a lot about how amphipods reproduce, but we don't know a lot about Pexcape amphipods. And the last question is really, how do we house all these organisms? What are the conditions we have to house them under? The amphipods tend to like to eat each other. How do we keep them behaving, and not eating each other? Those are the kinds of questions we have to ask.
So I heard you say that early on that kind of the focus here is how will you go about maintaining these species in a captive environment?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of it is all about maintaining these populations in a captive environment. And these are really sort of basic questions about if we take organisms from the wild and we have to house them in an artificial setting, how do we best house them? And so if that means what kind of light regime we have to expose them to, what kind of conditions do they need to be housed individually? Can we house them in groups? What kind of flow-through system do we need? Those are all the really important questions, because if they do come in, they're endangered species, whether they are in the field or whether they are in the lab, and we have to treat them as such. And so once we take those individuals into the lab, we still have to treat them as endangered species. And if we then want to have a viable population and individuals that we may want to reintroduce in the future, we have to be very cautious about having the organisms in the best condition when we reintroduce them as well. So,
and just to recap, you know, how this study all pertains to the habitat conservation program or the plan.
Yeah, to sort of recap this, the study really is relating to how we take organisms, endangered species, especially the little small what we call macroinvertebrates, which are things without a backbone that are visible to the naked eye, but you really can't see them very well because they are quite small, taking these endangered macroinvertebrates into the lab and maintaining captive populations in case conditions get quite poor in the field.
Okay. Thank you, Weston. We very much appreciate your insights.
No, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.